at Flynn Direct, Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the subject that's been dominating the news all weekend, and that is the violence in the Middle East. Latest developments, there had been a glimmer of hope. Yesterday, it appeared that both sides were saying things that seemed to suggest that they would agree on a ceasefire. Joe Biden has put pressure on both sides. He's talked to the leader of the Palestinians, the Palestinian Authority, and to Prime Minister Netanyahu, and that carries a lot of weight. However, as of this morning, right now, there seems to be no cessation of the rockets into Israel from Gaza and no cessation of the air raids into Gaza. So let's unpack some of this. Early on, the ostensible reason for the beginning of the violence was the eviction of some people. I've heard 4 to 6 people from apartments in East Jerusalem that they did not own, but had been in for some time. They were owned by others. The evictions were stayed in the Israeli courts. But that resulted in demonstrations. It was a religious holiday as well. Israeli police responded with tear gas and rubber bullets in the vicinity of a mosque, and there was stone throwing. This has happened before. It's not right, but it happened before. In response to that, Hamas in the Gaza Strip started to launch rockets indiscriminately into Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Now, if you can imagine somebody on the outskirts of Milwaukee firing rockets into Milwaukee indiscriminately, in this case, there's 3,000 of them or more, or say into Chicago, into LA, into New York, what is Milwaukee, Chicago, or LA, or New York going to do? They responded, and they responded with airstrikes, trying to get at the missile launching and at the tunnels that supplied them. In the process, civilians on both sides have been killed. More have been killed in Gaza than in Israel, because Israel has the Iron Dome, the protective shield that lets them shoot down rockets, but they don't shoot down all the rockets. They can shoot down about 95% of them, but some get through. When you have a swarm of bumblebees coming at you, you can do what you want with them, but a bee or two will get through. So what do we do with this? Ultimately, and here's what I want to unpack about all this, ultimately, this kind of thing was inevitable and will continue to be inevitable until there is a Palestinian state and the state of Israel. They're at peace. They recognize each other's right to exist. They trade with one another. In other countries, Muslim countries in the area, do the same, recognize Israel's right to exist and trade with it. The Abraham Accords were a good start. The Abraham Accords were negotiated by the Trump administration, by Jared Kushner. Now, Jared Kushner is a guy who has come in for some heavy fire from me for a lot of things, and Trump as well, but not for this particular accomplishment. That was a significant accomplishment. It was a significant accomplishment to get the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco to recognize Israel and trade with it. The United Arab Emirates sends an ambassador to Israel. Chainsaw Charlie, the Crown Prince Mohammed of Saudi Arabia, he's the sole real authority now in Saudi Arabia, permitted Israeli planes to fly over Saudi Arabian airspace to get to the United Arab Emirates. That's a huge accommodation. The truth is that a lot of people in that country, the Wahhabi terrorists, didn't like it, try to rise up. There's a repressive regime there who will put them down. But this is the neighborhood that Israel has to live in. Now, the Palestinian people are good people. There are Christians among them as well as Muslims. They're very able, smart people, good people. But this goes back to Yasser Arafat and the PLO, if you remember that. Yasser Arafat negotiated with Israel, and Israel offered them 98% of what he wanted, land, that there would be his own state, everything. There's maybe 1 or 2% in terms of territory that there was a dispute, and he turned the whole thing down. He didn't turn the whole thing down because somehow he wanted that extra 1 or 2%. That could have been worked out. He turned it down because any Arab leader who enters into a peace agreement with Israel will be assassinated by the extremists in his society. Anwar Sadat entered into a peace agreement with Israel, and he was assassinated. He was assassinated by some of his own bodyguards. There was a governor of Punjab who spoke out publicly. This is over in the Pakistan area, publicly, about in defense of a Christian woman who had been sentenced to death because a co-worker who didn't like her said that she had defamed the Prophet Muhammad, lied. She's sentenced to death. She's on death row. And this governor said, hey, we're a modern country. We shouldn't do this. He was gunned down by his own bodyguard. His bodyguard said, I am a slave to my prophet. He was executed. And then after he was executed, thousands of people went to the bodyguard's funeral. The problem is this. None of this is going to get resolved until everybody in that area recognizes each other's right to exist, including all of the Arab countries and the Muslim countries, recognizing Israel's right to exist. Their leaders don't get assassinated by extremists for doing it. People trade with one another. Trade makes everybody wealthy. It raises everybody's standard of living. That's what Israel wants. I think that's what most of the Palestinian people want. But there are a handful of extremists that won't let that happen. Some of them are in Hamas. Hamas, as is a Sunni outfit in Gaza. Some of them are in Hezbollah in Lebanon, a Shiite outfit supported by Iran. You know, all of this business about religion, we have separation of church and state in this country. When you meet somebody, you don't say, what religion are you? You basically give them your business card and want to do business with them, have a meeting with them. Over there, it's all about religion. And that's got to stop. That's got to stop. I'm calling it out. I'm calling it out. These countries have got to recognize Israel's right to exist. They've got to recognize it, period, end of story. Something's got to change in the culture so that their leaders don't get knocked off by somebody simply because they make peace. You can't have the Anwar Sadats and the governors of Punjab assassinated. No. One of the real challenges in the present predicament, because there will be a ceasefire, either today or tomorrow, there will be a ceasefire and a lot of innocent people have been killed. But the real challenge today is the ambassador from the United Arab Emirates left Israel to go back for consultation in his country. That's not a good sign. Sudan originally agreed to recognize Israel because the United States said, if you don't, we are not going to remove you from the terror list. That means you ain't getting any tourism. You ain't getting anything. And why were they on the terror list? Back 30 years ago, they beat our ambassador to death in the street. They're nuts is what they are. I'm talking about the rabble. The extremist rabble, not the people. The people of Sudan are good people. So that's what you got. Morocco, one of the most liberal Muslim countries, came on board, took a lot of heat from Algeria and everywhere else. So what you got to do is build on those Abraham Accords. Build on those accords. Keep the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Morocco and Sudan in the fold. Build on that. I think Israel is going to be getting new leadership at some point. There have been 4 elections in 2 years. This is simply a matter of what's reasonable and what's in everybody's self-interest. And that is, you have some very right-wing settlers who want to keep pushing into the West Bank and so forth. Okay. Well, a good, tough prime minister will say, this isn't the time. No, you're not going to do that because I want to keep the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan and Morocco, and I want to add a few folks. I want to add Dubai. I'd like to get Saudi Arabia. I sure would. Jordan is an ally of the United States. Egypt is cooperating with the United States, is starting to come together. We can get rid of Hamas and Hezbollah, and we can work with the Palestinians, recognize them as a country, make sure they recognize Israel's right to exist, and frankly, round up the murderers, the assassins who would kill any leader who would do that. This is long-term. This is long-term. But short-term, that sad state of events has continued. The firing of those rockets, 3,000 of them, over an eviction, and some tear gas and rubber bullets near a place of worship. However you thought about that, 3,000 rockets is disproportionate. It should not have been launched into Jerusalem, into Tel Aviv. So I'm glad that Joe Biden is handling this right. He stood back. He's urged both to stop it. He'll continue to urge both, but he is strongly supportive of our ally Israel, and he's not going to permit 3,000 rockets to be launched at them. On a not related, but in an odd way related statement, Liz Cheney said something that never occurred to me. Somebody asked her, why did so many Republicans vote against, vote for impeachment? Why did so few of them vote against impeachment? Only 10 of them voted against it. 147 voted to even throw out the certification, and most the rest, you know, 190 of them, 200 of them voted against impeachment. Why? He said, you want to know why? She said, you want to know why? Because they feared for their lives. They feared for their lives. And here we're not talking to Hezbollah and Hamas. We're talking about the United States. Republican congressmen who are frequently out without security, walking around picnics, Sponfarkles on Labor Day. They feared for their lives. That is how divided this country has become. And it's got to be called out. The truth has got to be told, as Cheney told the truth. She has a lot of guts. They feared for their lives. And I think she's exactly right. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.